5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA, Wednesday, and we've got rain. It was sort of on and off and on. Well, now it's here. It's raining. It's just raining, which is kind of odd with all of this water everywhere. All together now, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink in the city of Richmond. Oh, boil your water and then boil it again. And if your heads are not about boiling at this point, if the blood in your body is not quite boiling from the gross incompetence in the city, you will be happy to know that the relatively new mayor of the city of Richmond, Dr. Donnie Avuli, has apparently called in one of those big-time strategic political advisors, Dr. Ross Geller. What did he have to say?
Here we go. Pivot. Pivot! 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 Pivot!
Shut up! Shut up!
All right, well, there you go. Pivot is your word of the day. Well, once we get through this crisis, we're going to have to pivot. Look, your mayorship, you have done nothing but pivot from one flipping crisis to the next. Now, you seem to be a nice guy. I don't know that that's one of your strengths in all candor, but nonetheless, you seem to be a nice guy. You're a woke, goofy leftist like everybody else in the political world, it seems, certainly inside the city of Richmond with one or two notable exceptions. And that's okay. I don't care. Not my thing, but you knock yourself out. But there does come a point where this is your mess. We all know that you didn't create it. I'm totally willing to stipulate to that, Your Honor. This relatively new mayor was too busy telling everybody to go hide under their beds and get COVID shots while most of this was going on to be involved in it. I know, I mean, that's what he was doing. That's what he was doing. But there does come a point, even though we know the destruction of the Richmond water infrastructure hasn't occurred in the last 6 months. It has occurred in the last 18 years. It occurred during those collective reigns of error known as the administrations of Dwight Jones and LeVar Stoney, two of the least competent human beings you could find on planet Earth. But you wanted this job. You asked people to give you this job, and you promised them you could handle it. You said you knew how to manage things, how to manage people. All right. The first screw up is the water crisis, right? That happened what? Like the day after, 2 days, a week after the poor guy took the oath of office? All right, then that's not on you. And I sat here, even as we were organizing for deliveries of bottles of water that you were not doing out of the mayor's office, just for the record, but I was doing sitting here at this microphone. I was willing to say, and I did say, hey, you can't blame this relatively new mayor for this. I had your back on that one. But we've had nothing but a crisis after a crisis after a crisis with you since then. We take a look at the schools. This was your opportunity to make a mark, to do something positive for the children of the city of Richmond. And I don't know why you didn't say anything. I don't know why you weren't out there saying that this guy sitting in the superintendent's office has exactly zero accomplishments during the time he's been superintendent. There's no improvement in any area. And you said nothing about replacing him. In fact, you seemed to be happy when the school board, the only collection of people less competent than the staff at the mayor's office, decided to extend his contract by 4 years. It's outrageous. Victims there? The children who attend RPS. Maybe it's because your wife is a school teacher. Right? Maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe you didn't want to shake up her world too much. Maybe she's got a good deal over at, was it Chimborazo where she teaches? I don't know. Maybe you thought, okay, well, I'm going to leave well enough alone. I got these potholes to deal with, and we have the Coliseum, which isn't the Coliseum anymore, but now is the world's largest urinal. Yeah, we should do something about it. Okay, whatever. But another water crisis? Another appearance by you on mic, on camera, suggesting to everybody that they boil their water. Are you mayor of Richmond? Or are you mayor of some third world city somewhere where a boil water advisory is just, you know, what happens on Wednesday? This ought not be happening here, sir. And 6 months into your term, it is your problem now. The infrastructure hasn't crumbled as a result of you. However, the management of that infrastructure is absolutely, totally, 110% in your court right now. You need to do something. It would appear at this point you have done nothing. Do we have a current city administrative officer, or are we currently looking for a city administrative officer? Anybody at the water department who's ever been in charge of the water department? How about the tax bills? Oh, well, you know, I got the tax bill too. Okay, well, so what? How about fixing some of these problems? Governor Youngkin at the state level has created such an amazing financial economic atmosphere for our beloved Commonwealth that there are all sorts of companies all over the world looking to relocate to Virginia. And with all of the disasters happening in the city of Richmond, you know what they're doing, Mr. Mayor? They're seeing how far from the city of Richmond they can locate, if they're going to locate here. Any inkling as to why Chesterfield has picked up so many companies? Why Hanover has picked stuff up? Think about it. Right, these weren't companies looking to relocate to Northern Virginia. They're not in the government sector. They didn't need to be in Northern Virginia. Way too expensive. They thought Central Virginia would be a good place. But not the city. That's because of you. They might be on 95 as we speak. They're going to drive right by your exits. And they're going to go somewhere else. So this is now your problem. I will remind you, you asked to be the mayor. You asked for this. And you got it. Sometimes the worst dreams are the ones that come true, right? You wanted to be mayor, you are the mayor. My suggestion to you is start acting like the mayor. Start doing those things that a competent, world-class mayor would do. Stop sounding like your two predecessors who couldn't figure out how to open a doorknob. You are smarter than those two guys. But at the moment, you are failing miserably on that, hey, I want to be the mayor thing. You're not getting it done. And it's just a good reminder for the rest of us why, well, we didn't live in the city. We chose not to live in the city. And I will say, as I have said since the first water crisis, I love Hanover County. I love living in Hanover County. I love everything about Hanover County. But the one suggestion I have for my board of supervisors, my county manager, is this. Let's get disconnected from the Richmond City water system as soon as possible and get our own set up. Let's stop asking data centers to relocate and let's start figuring out how we can have our own water processing system so we are not dependent on Flint, Michigan, Southeast Division. It's 515, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 521, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Quick reminder about our James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Pam in Hanover says, hey, Jeff, what did Mayor Danny do to fix the first crisis? The second was excess fluoride. Oh, my God, you're right. There was another. Jeez, I can't keep track of them. The hits just keep on coming from the city of Richmond. That's right. They're in between that water crisis and this water crisis. There was the excess fluoride crisis. Huh. Jeff, is it possible that he really is not smarter than the other guys? God, what a horror show that would be if true, huh? Yeah. Dave in Claremont says, good afternoon, Jeff. Because of all the water problems, it's one of the reasons I'm glad I don't live in Richmond. Sorry for all of those folks. Yeah. Yeah, it is sad. 804, Jeff, what's up with John Reed? Not a peep of late. Really? Where were you, like, I don't know, 45 minutes ago? If you missed, John was just here, actually. He's the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. I would suggest that you go to WRVA.com and listen to the conversation that he and I had, WRVA.com. JJ says, hey, Jeff, I am voting for John. Good, so am I. And then JJ goes on to say, and I'm voting for you as soon as you run. Well, you keep waiting. I will be running from office. Zero interest in being an elected member of any. I love service. I live for service. I will do anything. But run for office? Well, no. Oh, Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson was on. Who was he chatting? Was that Maggie somebody, right? Took her to school just a little bit. Take a listen to cut number one.
Well, one of your Republican colleagues over in the Senate has been very vocal about his concern in regard to what you're doing to Medicaid. Josh Hawley has been arguing it is morally wrong and politically suicidal to slash health insurance for the working poor. He said the cost sharing language will force people at or just over the federal poverty level to pay as much as $35 for a medical visit, which means working people will pay more. How do you defend that? Because you know in the Senate they are going to make changes to this.
My friend Josh Hawley is a fiscal conservative as I am. We don't want to slash benefits. And again, I make this very clear. We are not cutting Medicaid. We are not cutting SNAP. We're working in the elements of fraud, waste, and abuse. SNAP, for example, listen to the statistics. In 2024, over $11 billion in SNAP payments were erroneous. I mean, that's a number that everyone acknowledges is real. It may be much
Louisiana
higher
Louisiana is like the but second the largest problem. Recipient the states, of food stamps in the country, sir.
So let me explain it, Margaret. Let me explain it. The states are not properly administered in this because they don't have enough skin in the game. So what we've done in the bill is add some, just a modest state sharing component so that they'll pay attention to that, so that we can reduce fraud. Why? Again, so that it is preserved for the people that need it the most. This is common sense, Margaret. It's good government, and everybody on both sides of the aisle should agree to that.
Wow. Aw, poor Maggie went to school. All right. Poor Maggie was taken to school. You think she remembered anything? She wrote anything down? Took some notes? Probably not. Mike Dickinson's going to be along in just a moment. You know, there is, there's just nobody that follows the nonsense that happens in the city of Richmond in particular, like Mike Dickinson does. And I'm looking forward to chatting with him. I'm going to remind you, if you miss any part of this show or you just want to enjoy it again, go to WRVA.com, WRVA.com. Take a listen to every single solitary piece so you do not miss anything. And tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Richmond's Morning News. Rich Herrera will be here. I want to make sure you are here for Rich as well. 525, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 535, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday, and you know this rain that we're getting right now? Get used to it. No, seriously, it's going to be around most of the night. There'll be some areas where it does let up overnight, and tomorrow, kind of sort of a mishmash. Definitely cloudy for everybody. Some pop-up showers here and there. And if you feel unwanted or unloved because a shower didn't pop up near you, not to worry. The days after that, Friday and Saturday and Sunday, yeah, you'll get your dose. So just dealing with it, it is what it is. is. On Wednesdays, our friend Mike Dickinson joins us. Mike is a rock-solid citizen reporter. He's undertaken the reporting on a lot of issues that, quite frankly, others are not doing. I've compared Mike many, many times to Andy Ngo. Andy has that big national footprint, and plenty of Mike's reporting has been picked up by a lot of national outlets as well. But we were first, and he's with us every week, which I always appreciate. Mike, thank you for being here, sir.
Anytime for you.
You are a good man. Now, I have to ask you, do we need to do the show today, or should we just go back to, what was it, January, when we had the first water crisis? Because the mayor fundamentally said exactly the same things today that he said then.
We are stuck in a cycle in Richmond of just continued incompetence. I mean, if I lived in Richmond, I would be putting out some buckets right now to collect the rainwater, because you're less likely to grow a third arm after drinking that than you are the drinking water in Richmond right now these days. You know, Monday, the city acknowledged, the city said, oh, we had a problem, but everything worked perfectly. It was kind of a celebratory press release they issued on Monday, saying that all the systems worked. There was a mild uptick in water, and because of that, the filters got clogged, but everything worked perfectly. You have nothing to worry about, Richmond. Tuesday morning, they started to backtrack that a little bit, and they were like, well, we're going to have to, some of the neighborhoods are getting bad water. We're going to have to put the brakes on it a little bit. We don't know exactly what's going on, but we're going to have to put the brakes on it. Tuesday afternoon, early evening, they knew they had a full-blown problem, and they issued the stop drinking boil water advisory for pretty much, I would say, 90% of Richmond. The Fan, the Museum District, Southside, Churchill, they put the brakes on everything. And then today, I believe they just took another water sample this afternoon to see where it's at. And we haven't got the results of that yet, but you're exactly right. The mayor said all these same things back in January. So either the citizens of Richmond need to know that LeVar Stoney was incompetent, which we know, and that he kicked this can as long as he could, and the new mayor inherited a water system woefully flawed, or the new mayor is in over his head already and doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know Dr. Danny that well. I don't know a whole lot about him other than he was Ralph Northam's point man on the masking and the COVID scams in Virginia. But I will say that in my experience, there's usually a very big disconnect between people who have academic book learning and people who have boots on the ground knowledge of how things really happen. And I think that might be what's happening with this mayor. He may be too educated for his own good to be the mayor.
Yeah, what an interesting perspective, Mike, that he is, as many of us have said throughout the years about other people, he is book smart, but he's not really street smart.
I'd like to see him put on some boots and go down to the water plant and work a couple shifts down there and understand what's really going on. Because, I mean, not only in Richmond, but that's a big gap in America where we have all these academics say, oh, well, technically this and that, but the boots on the ground will tell you it doesn't really work like that. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's ever actually ran a major company, which is really what the city of Richmond, the job of the mayor is to be the CEO of a big company and manage money and manage results. Right. And actually know how things work. And the problem we had with LeVar Stoney is that he was just woefully incompetent and had never worked a real job other than be Terry McAuliffe's flunky. And then Dr. Danny's been a public health administrator his whole life. He's never actually ran a business.
Well, and that is a huge issue. The city of Richmond is a giant business. There are certain things that have to be done. There's certain things that cannot be done. There's a whole list of things. One of the things that I've noticed, Mike, and you tell me, you've run a business or two throughout the years, I don't think the good doctor has actually fired anybody yet, has he? I mean, it just seems like, well, we're working on this. We're getting a new one, the new model, blah, blah, blah. Listen, you've been there for 6 months at this point. Somebody should have been on your chopping block by now, and you should have announced some new appointments, right?
Can you imagine if President, can you imagine President Trump? He wouldn't tolerate this. If you had an agency fail twice within 6 months, a major public service agency fail twice, Trump would have somebody's head on a platter. They would be done. He would have cleaned house of everybody. Yep. Don't care what you do. You obviously can't handle the job. You're done. And Dr. Danny needs to go into the public utilities, the water department specifically, and just clean house, fire everybody, find some new people that can bring new energy and can get things done, because in business, as in life, the number one goal is to get things done and to provide a service that you're being paid for.
Right.
It's ridiculous that these people, the citizens, the businesses, the other counties that buy water from Richmond are expected to keep propping up the city of Richmond when at every turn the city of Richmond continues to prove itself unable to deliver anything. I mean, why would you keep going to the same McDonald's every day if the ice cream machine is broke? You're not. You're going to eventually just go somewhere else. And that's exactly what's happening now. You know, 6 months ago, the ice cream machine is broke. I'm the new manager of the Richmond McDonald's. We're going to fix it. 6 months later, I'm sorry, the ice cream machine broke again. I don't know exactly what happened, but we're fixing it still. We're still fixing it.
Yeah. What about the schools? This is another part of this. Now, I know that the mayor is not necessarily the guy when it comes to RPS. However, the mayor, my humble opinion, should have been out front saying that the superintendent clearly has failed and we've got to find a new superintendent. Instead, he stood back. He basically applauded when the RPS board gave this guy another 4 years. And the only thing that I can think of, Mike, and I hope I'm not sounding like a conspiracy guy, but my thought is, with Mrs. Dr. Mayor Danny being a school teacher over at Chimborazo Elementary, maybe he decided, I'm just going to leave well enough alone.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of good school teachers out there, but there's also a lot that they are 100% teachers union, 100%. The teachers unions are always right. We're going to do everything we can to keep our budget fat with no accountability. And while that's not every school teacher, there's a lot of them that are like that. They don't really care about the results these days. They care about keeping that budget fat and keeping no accountability on the teachers. Remember, this is the same Richmond Public School Teachers Union that I believe it was last year. They were more concerned about getting their raises and having guaranteed job safety and guaranteed bonuses in their contract than they were about actually being accountable for the results they deliver.
Yeah.
Most of the people that are affiliated with the Richmond Public School Systems, they have the wrong priorities. Their priority is not to deliver the best job. It's to guarantee their own job safety and their own job payment.
Tell me a little bit about some of the Republican folks who are running for the House of Delegates in the city. Number one, I was, I guess, pleasantly surprised we had any Republicans running in the city, but not exactly the biggest campaigns, huh?
Right. Well, I'm glad that they managed to find four candidates, and I'm pretty sure, Jeff, that me and you had a lot to do with that, because we're the only people that have continually pointed out that they don't run candidates, so I'm glad they found four people.
Yeah.
But they found four people that have minimal social media presence that I've never heard of, and I've heard of a lot of people, and maybe they can make themselves heard. If you're a candidate for a political office and you don't have $1 million behind you, you need to watch WWE and learn how to speak in catchphrases, learn how to speak in ways that can make people care about what you say. You know, President Trump is a master at it. You can tell that he spent some time watching WWE at some point. Because you have to be able to deliver what you're trying to say clearly in ways that people remember and get it over. So yep. I would say to the people running, and we'll be discussing them more as we get further along in the election cycle, figure out what you're trying to say, figure out clever ways to say it so people remember you. And then you have to remember, Triple H said this on Tough Enough many years ago, from the time that you walk into the arena, from the time that you walk out, whether you're giving a speech, whether you're at an event, you're telling your story and you're telling what you're trying to say. And that's what they have to do. I mean, it's not a good look to go in there and, well, you say in a million words what you can say in five. You got to make it clear, concise, entertaining, and rememberable. Everything that President Trump does.
Yeah, President Trump is the first official WWE president. There's no doubt about that. Mike, it is always a pleasure, my friend. I always appreciate you being here. Looking forward to doing it next week. That is Mike Dickinson, our citizen journalist, our citizen reporter. Again, I keep telling you, he is... our Virginia version of Andy No. Good stuff there. 546, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 552, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. I need to take a couple of moments here and share something kind of personal. I mentioned to you last night I was... honored. I keep using the word honored. Maybe I have to find a new word, but I was honored to speak at the Virginia State Police Academy, the 143rd basic class. And I presented my keynote speech, Why Would Anyone Want to Do That Job? That started, by the way, Heidi asking me questions. It started out as a speech I called Why Would Anyone Do That Job? And then I realized there was a much more important part of it. And that really is what this is about now. Why would anyone want to do that job? And as I was there at the academy, it's an impressive building. And I knew that there were great young men and young women in that class. And I knew what time I was supposed to start. And I knew that they had had a very long day. Their day starts at about 5:30. No, I'm 5:40. I think one of the trooper trainees told me that's when you're outside and you're ready for PT. Okay, well, so your day begins really at 5. So here they were, 6:15 in the evening. They had to listen to me prattle on. But they were gracious, and I was honored. I was humbled. But inside that academy, when you walk in the front doors, to your left is a statue that is simply called the Trooper. And it's a beautiful, beautiful statue. But as you walk into that academy, you got a big hallway in front of you. To the left on the wall are photos of the superintendents. And to your right is a memorial gallery. And it contains paintings of each of the Virginia State Troopers who have died in the line of duty. And I stopped for a moment in front of each of them. I tried to reach each of them. Some of them are a little closer to home, if you will, especially Special Agent Mike Walter. Why? Today is 8 years to the day that Mike Walter was murdered, killed in the line of duty. It's tough to believe it's been 8 years, and there are moments where you think, I can't believe it's only 8 years. Mike Walter was a Marine. He was a state police special agent. He's an amazing husband and father. He truly represents everything that is right with service. And so on this, the 8th anniversary of his murder, I just want to say 4311, rest easy. We've got the watch. I want you to have a marvelous evening. Keep Mike and Jamie and their kids in your thoughts and prayers, please. Beware the weather. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.